Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday. We have Chris Cartman, because today is the opening day of ASU spring football workouts. That is correct. February 24th, spring football workouts. Only in Arizona, where it's supposed to be 70 degrees today. SunDevilSource.com publisher will join us, Chris Cartman. We're also going to talk with Chris about Arizona State basketball. That is the story from the weekend, in my humble opinion. Having now won seven games in a row, finding a way to beat Oregon State after an emotionally draining game on Thursday night against Oregon. And it doesn't matter to me if it was 1 point, 10 points. That was not going to be an easy game on Saturday. All of a sudden, Bobby Hurley's team is one of the hottest in the country. All of a sudden, this is a team that lost to St. Mary's by 40 back in November. 40. And you look at ASU now, and they're a 7 seed, an 8 seed, maybe somewhere in that range because they have quality victories. So we'll talk with Chris Cartman about seeding. It's kind of fun to do a show like this because usually this time of year it's, well, if they win a few games in the Pac-12 tournament, they might be able to sneak into March Madness. They might be one of the last ones in. And 3 weeks ago, they couldn't shoot straight, and it was like, okay, this team's just going to do the usual dance. But now it's a different story. At UCLA this Thursday night, UCLA is playing great. Two of the hottest teams in the country. Like, the conference is actually giving us something. So we'll talk with Chris Cartman, some ASU football and some basketball. And then Jody Jackson is going to be with us today, Fox Sports Net Arizona reporter, host. Jody is just good to bounce things off of with the Coyotes. They have 17 games left in the season. Can they make the postseason? She was just with them on a road trip. The Diamondbacks, this Madison Bumgarner story that we'll get to in a bit. We have a lot to get to with Jody Jackson. Eric is in today. Jared is in today, chairman of the board, the Iron Man. Jordan is not. He is over at ASU football because it's the start of spring football workouts. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. Last week, I was sitting with some people having dinner from Sagicor, just talking about where we're at in this time of year with people and discussing life insurance, their financial situations. I've got a couple of people that reached out to me over the weekend because I do have my license. And they said, I know you have your license. I'm just curious if you have some time to sit and visit with me. One of them's in the real estate world. And so we're going to sit and we're going to talk about where he's going as he's looking to divest himself from some real estate. And that sort of planning. You may be in a different space in life than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. All right. If you've not taken care of your life insurance, if you've not taken care of your financial side of things, you can do so with Sagicor Now. Log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. That is at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Chris Cartman here in about 20 minutes. Today is the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service. It's going on in Los Angeles. I think it should go on across the country. I have not been worn out on the Kobe Bryant moments because we have not heard. I don't know if Vanessa Bryant is going to speak today. I don't know that. I don't know who's going to be out there speaking. I know Magic Johnson talked at the All-Star game before the Lakers-Celtics game yesterday. There was a moment. I think if you're a Laker player, I would think that after a while, the traveling road show or each city you stop into, like when the Suns play the Lakers again in April, it'll be the first time that they played in Phoenix since November. So it would be appropriate, in my opinion, for the Suns to do something around Kobe Bryant that night. And that's all the way into April. At what point does it start to weigh on the Lakers? I watched them a little bit yesterday. If Boston knew how to make a couple of entry passes, Jason Tatum was terrific. That's a good-looking team there at Boston. Gordon Hayward is just okay. The Lakers are able to get a victory. I'm to the point where watching postseason and where things are going to go for postseason. The loss of Kobe Bryant, I want the Lakers to win a championship this year. You can be as mad as you want. Oh, you're in Phoenix. No. That's not how it works in my world. Because the Suns are probably not going to make the playoffs. And, you know, the other side of it in the NBA this year, take the Kobe story and take the Lakers and LeBron and how he's played well this year. I'm interested in Rookie of the Year. I've been caught up in watching Zion Williamson. even though he looks like he's not learned yet to stop going through the drive-thru at Cane's, he looks huge. I mean, gigantic out on the floor. But if we're looking at rookies of the year, right now in the NBA, Ja Morant at Memphis and Zion, and they're fun to watch. Like, I know a lot of you, most everybody believes the Suns screwed up with DeAndre Ayton rather than taking Luka Doncic. Luka, of course, has gone on to be an all-star. DeAndre's had problems off the court. DeAndre's getting his 15-10, which he should get at that stage. But he really hasn't been the dominating player. So it's very fair to say the Suns missed, although I still am one of those to say when Luka makes it into the postseason and they have a long run and they win titles and DeAndre Ayton doesn't do anything, let's just see where this whole thing goes. But in the first year and a half, no question the Suns missed. There's no question that Memphis is the surprise story of the NBA this year. I thought the Suns would be better than Memphis, but Ja Morant has been that good. I mean, a team like Portland versus a team like Memphis, Memphis would open with the Lakers in the first round. Doesn't matter to me if it wouldn't be a great series. Ja Morant's fun to watch. So's Zion. It's great to watch these young guys. Trae Young's been terrific in Atlanta this year. Those are some franchises that usually aren't very good or not fun to watch. So, you know, the NBA side of things, the Suns play at Utah tonight. I may watch. They are way, way, way on the outside of the playoff spectrum looking in. So at this point, the only newsworthy things are things like Devin Booker's got his house for sale. What a shock. Really stunning. And it comes out during the season, and it comes out after he gets passed over for an NBA All-Star appearance. Yeah, he got added late to the team, but the Suns know they're in trouble to the point where the general manager had to put out a press release on how aghast he was at a player missing the All-Star game, which to me reeked of desperation. Yes, I know what's going to happen here. I know it's coming. You should know it's coming. There will be a point where Devin Booker has got a bunch of microphones around him, whether it's locker clean-out day, July 1st, whatever. But now that he's had a taste of being in an All-Star game, and you can't tell me that none of those players said to him, hey, man, what are you doing in Phoenix? You need to come here. Let's angle to get you here. Let's angle to get you there. You cannot tell me that doesn't happen. It's a matter of time. The NFL has today the start of the combine. Believe it or not, the NFL, the scouting combine usually is a huge deal, an enormous deal. In years past, we first started doing this company, we took the show to the combine. Why? Because nobody else was doing it. And it was fine. It was this cool little story that we could do at the end of February. It gave us some NFL content. It was a lot of fun. Then as the combine grew and I saw that, okay, we're going to the combine and there's, I don't know how many zillions of people that are there with microphones that have their little website in the basement and that's it. And they're allowed in and we're not really getting anything unique. And these players get rushed in and rushed out. So what exactly are we getting out of this? So we don't go. I'm not going to go to the combine. I think going to the draft this year in Vegas is something we'll do. The way the NFL though is shaping up, they changed their rules just this last week on franchise tags. This is how the NFL works. So the combine is there. The franchise tags are now not going to be till later this week because the NFL is in the midst of a collective bargaining agreement. Those of you under the age of probably, I don't know, 45, 40, somewhere in that range, have never been through labor stoppages before that really caught your attention. When I first broke into this was the last time the NFL had a work stoppage, and they had replacement players. They had scab players, they were known by the players in the NFL. And it lasted a few weeks. Rick Neuheisel was the quarterback in San Diego. I've joked about him from time to time on that. The NFL contract, the owners have said, we've got a contract that's ready to be ratified. The NFLPA is saying, well, we voted 6-5 to not get this deal done. The NFL wants to get this deal done. I'm going off of what our buddy Peter King wrote today, partly in due to the NFL's anticipating a drop in attendance and a drop in television ratings this coming fall because they're going to be going up against a reality show that is known as Donald Trump against fill in the blank, Bernie Sanders, Bloomberg, whomever it's going to be. The NFL is anticipating that in prime time, the NFL ratings are not going to be as good this fall as they've been in the past because We're in an election year, and I happen to agree with them on that. You may not care one rat's about the political side of things, but when we get into September and November, and if they're only separated by a few points one way or the other, and there's a game on, and those two are debating, the debate is going to win. So the NFL is trying to push this through. The NFL in the past has pushed things through. If I talk to longtime NFL guys, they say every time we cave to the owners. So I think there's a little bit of that. Peter wrote today in his Football Morning in America column that Richard Sherman has been leading the charge on getting better benefits for mental health for NFL players. Mental health. We've opened a mental health platform here on Sports 360 because I see it very crystal clear. It's out there. And so for Richard Sherman to step forward and for them to have a better pension for players, a player that was in the NFL in the 70s and 80s, his pension right now is around $30,000 a year. His medical coverage is not nearly what it should be. You would think that players at $30,000 a year in blood, sweat, and tears in a pension coming into them, the way this league has grown, that they wouldn't be living in trailer parks, broken down by themselves, mental health and all that, but they're only getting $30,000 a year and that's it. So there are those that say we need to fix this system. And I like what's going on here with the NFL players. I'm always on the players' side unless they just become lunatics. Look, they're not going to kill the golden goose and say, let's sit out a whole year. But you don't need to rush into it. I get the NFL owner's stance. They want to say, look, we have labor peace until 2029. And now that we have labor peace till 2029, we can go get a television deal negotiated. Well, you don't need to rush through all the little details. Extending a season to 17 games, shortening the preseason, adding roster spots, having less contact. The players are very much pushing forward to have less padded practices and less contact. What does that mean to you, the consumer? It means your football games in September are going to blow like they've blown the last few years. September football has just turned into an extension of training camp. It really has. And most fans don't care. They don't care if the quality is bad. It's just, I finally have my football back. ASU basketball on the other side. And the Madison Bumgarner story, a few other things. And then Chris Cartman. I'm Brad Sussmat. So let's do a little deep dive here on where we're at with college basketball. We have a couple weeks left in the season. ASU has UCLA and USC this coming weekend. And then they have Washington State. Then they go up to Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. ASU has now won 7 games in a row. That has not happened since 1980-81 in conference play. That has not happened since 1980-81 before they are even the Pac-12. Does that give you an idea of how bad this program has been through the years? How mediocre. Eric, you were there on Thursday night. The Oregon game.
Great game. Good energy. Big crowd. March feels.
You've grown up here, so you've seen lots of bad basketball. Is this a mirage? Is this actually happening? Are we actually seeing something that could be really memorable? In your opinion, or is this just Bobby Hurley doing a nice job?
I think the latter. I think this could be a 2-and-done team in the tournament. Like, maybe win a game.
Sweet 16?
I don't know about Sweet 16. Maybe.
What seed are they today, in your opinion?
It's tough, Brad, because if you look at the metrics, wink, they're almost into the 60s, which is not a good place to be, but they're in first place in the Pac-12, and they have, I think Chris Cartman said they have like a 98.3% chance of making the tournament. I don't know. There really is no need to look at where they could be because they still have to play the LA schools.
For this segment.
They still have to go play in the Pac-12 tournament. They're probably like a 6 seed, if I'm guessing.
You're going really high. I'm thinking like 7 or 8.
They are in first place in the Pac-12.
They are in first place in the Pac-12.
Pac-12 is a power conference, and it's not a bad basketball league this year.
No, it's not. It's gotten better as the season has progressed. As the season has progressed, it's gotten better.
I think they're going to take 4. I would think Arizona State, Colorado, and UCLA or USC.
USC's got to get their act together.
Yeah, but they're
Oregon. You said Oregon.
Oregon. I did not say Oregon. Yeah, of course, Oregon.
So in my view, for ASU, let's just say they win out.
Okay.
Let's say they win their last four games.
They're not going to, but I'll play along.
Okay, play along. That's fine. That's what we do here. But if you win out, you're at 23 wins.
Amazing.
And you have a 40-point loss on your resume in a neutral site game, but it really is a home game against St. Mary's.
So, a team that's probably going to make the tournament.
It's probably going to make the tournament, but how do you factor that in if you're the committee? Of why do they deserve a – because if you win out, including road wins, you're probably around a 5 or a 4. Like I saw Andy Katz, and I respect Andy. Andy and I used to travel together and do San Diego State stuff. Andy's got U of A as a 4 seed. Now, I don't think U of A is that good watching them. I think they struggle and scuffle. Yeah, the Oregon game, a call didn't go their way. U of A looks like the typical U of A, which is they're going to proclaim how they have all these future NBA guys that are one-and-doners, and they show up, and they absolutely lay an egg, and they can't shoot straight.
I think they're a good team. That's pretty much just what I think.
Not great.
I don't think they're a great
team. Who's great this year? I watched Gonzaga the other night against BYU, and yeah, that's a BYU, and that's a really hard place to play.
It was a weird weekend, though, because San Diego State lost, because Gonzaga lost. Baylor lost, but they lost to Kansas.
That's the number three team, but is Kansas great? Is there a great team out there this year?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think Baylor's really good, but I don't think they're, like, they're world beaters.
Like if you look in the middle part of the Big Ten, I've watched a little bit of Michigan State. I've looked at Michigan; they're okay.
That's a brutal conference, though. The Big Ten. I mean, Penn State's good in basketball. Illinois is having a good season. Rutgers was in the top 25 at one time. Those teams just cannibalize each other.
But is the Pac-12 in the same boat?
No. The Big Ten's way better than the Pac-12 in basketball. Way better.
Way better.
Sure.
Don't you think, though, that ASU on the other side of the coin is a team, and I'll ask Cartman this in a few minutes, they're one of those teams that could show up and not shoot straight and be a one and done.
I agree. Why is that? Because they have good guard play. But when guards aren't making shots...
Do you like Verge?
I do.
His decision-making sometimes...
But it doesn't matter. It's just like with Remy Martin. Bobby Hurley says, you know what? You've got the green light to do what you want. And that's been the approach since those guys got here. Just as Bobby just lets those guards play, which I know. I agree with you. I mean, Verge likes to shoot. He is a shooting
guard. He cannot shoot free throws.
He's not a great free throw shooter.
No, that's the other thing. When you get into play in March, you can't knock down free throws. I'm sorry. You're not going to win.
But ASU has three guys that could go for 20-plus on any given night, and that's a good recipe. Even if two of those three guys are hot, they're probably going to win the game.
As much as Mickey Mitchell makes me anxious and nervous when I watch him play, he actually gives them something at times. At other times, it's like...
He's a great glue guy. What he does isn't going to show up in the stats, but I mean, every team needs a Mickey Mitchell.
But there was a buzz, what you're telling me.
I think so. I watched the Saturday game against Oregon State. I was watching the boxing match that night, so we were kind of flipping back and forth.
Fury.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Fury.
It was great. It was a great fight. So
we got, you know what? We got to get back in the fight game a little bit.
Well, there needs to be big-time fights Saturday. I mean, Vaccaro, UFC has taken over boxing. So
Vaccaro used to have me up for fights.
That'd be fun. That would have been a great fight to go to.
We used to do Tyson fights back in the day. So, all right. So ASU plays at UCLA, and Eric's thrilled because the game is on Pac-12 Network, which means you got to go to. Are you going to go out Thursday night? Because you will never subscribe to the Pac-12 Network.
I don't think I'm going to go out and watch the conference network.
9 o'clock at night.
Out of protest. I mean, maybe.
Do you stream it on your laptop?
No. I don't even bother. I just don't. I love watching ASU and U of A play basketball, but I just can't.
ASU, UCLA, 7-game win streak on the line. You're not going to go out of protest.
Are
you hearing yourself?
9 o'clock.
You're not old, though.
That's a school night.
You're just getting started. Oh, I know.
Maybe.
Student-athlete.
We'll see.
Student-athlete. All right. Chris Cartman's going to continue this. He is out at ASU football because they have spring football workouts that start today. We will talk with Chris and then later Jody Jackson. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, let's turn our attention now to a bunch of things around Arizona State. We were down at a media day, which, by the way, I have to give ASU a lot of credit because the Pac-12, in their infinite just sheer lunacy, does not make people available in the offseason like Arizona State did last week, where they just opened up their doors for an hour and a half and there wasn't like PR people hanging around every last person and you could just get your work done. And it's very, very smart. And those that don't want to do this sort of thing are probably afraid their program stinks. I will just leave it at that. This was Herm Edwards last week. I pulled him aside. And then we're going to get to Chris Cartman. This was Herm Edwards last week. What do you want to see out of Jaden in spring?
Well, to continue the improvement and become more of a leader. And I didn't put that on him last year at all. The freshman quarterback coming in, he had enough on his plate. But what he's done, he's convinced me, and I think the rest of the coaches on the offensive staff, that we can protect him with the football. In other words, he is not gonna turn over a whole lot. And that's critical. And this is why you see this year when we went out recruiting, the emphasis was on the perimeter.
Beef.
Yes. And beef.
And speed.
The whole deal. We bring in two offensive linemen that are grad transfers. That wasn't by accident. That was designed to make sure we can protect him. We brought in two young running backs that have the potential to be good players, along with the kids that we have coming back. So there's a lot of competition there at the wide receiver position. And even at the tight end position, all of a sudden, we have a nucleus of five tight ends all of a sudden in our offense that will be competing for spots.
All right, so that was Herm, and that was earlier. To give us more context on this, as always, Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com publisher, joins us live from Tempe as ASU opens up spring football this morning. Jaden Daniels is not working out. Is there anything to this? From our understanding, he's not out there. He's in a hoodie. What do you make out of this?
No, there's nothing going on there. It's just because they're practicing only this Monday in their whole spring schedule, and he has a class conflict only on Monday. So he's going to be out there the rest of the 14 practices.
All right. So you're, I don't know if you heard Herm there or not, but he was talking about all these tight ends and all the beef and all of this and all of that, which is fine. What is of most interest to you on the offensive side of the football here in spring workouts? What do you want to see, Chris?
Definitely the offensive line is the main focus. You look out there today, they have the Texas A&M transfer Kellen Deich at left tackle. They've moved Ladarius Henderson to right tackle. Cade Cody's applying for a sixth year of eligibility, but that hasn't been granted yet. I don't know that it's going to be. I think that's at best a 50-50 thing. If it is, he'll move out there into the center position. But right now they have redshirt freshman Ben Scott, who didn't practice at all last year, at center, only at right tackle, right guard. So there's a few things that they really need to iron out with that line in order to be able to take care of Daniels and then create opportunities in the run game.
Okay, let's go to the run game. Two new backs come in. Eno's gone. What do you see? What do you think? What do you hear?
Well, today is not much to really learn yet. There's a lot of installs. But just from watching these guys on film, Brad, I think that they're immediately going to be the top two running backs on the roster. Daniel Ngata, very similar in a lot of respects to Eno Benjamin, very elusive, athletic, get you on the edge of your seat type of a guy. He's a threat to take balls to the house. And then in Deamonte Trainum, they have a bigger physical running back who nonetheless is a very good athlete. He reminds me a fair amount of former ASU running back Cameron Marshall, for people that remember him.
He's a beast. We saw him at Media Day. Huge. Wide receivers, it's like a revolving door. Some are coming, some are not. Who's there? What does it look like to you?
Well, it's going to be a big addition in the summer. That's when they're going to get these four-star receivers all in. None of them are here now. So that means that the guys who are returning on the roster, they have to elevate themselves. They have to make the most of the opportunity that they have right now. So that's Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Porter, Brandon Curley. Those guys are, you know, they have a major opportunity, or Jordan Curley, pardon me. They have a major opportunity to maximize their chances and try to get ahead, because it's a new offense. They're learning all this terminology. So they're not going to have as much of a jump on the newcomers as you ordinarily would from one season to the next. So they have to do everything that they can right now to get up to speed.
Chris Cartman with us. He is at ASU Today, SunDevilSource.com publisher. Today, the opening of spring football. Defensively, a player that you're really intrigued to see. You might have already seen him today. Give me a guy that you're really looking close at.
Jordan Banks, I would say, is the most important guy that I'm paying attention to, because they're going to come down to a lot of 40-front type stuff, and they're going to have an edge player. Remember, of course, with Tyler Johnson deciding to not play football anymore, and their issue is rushing the passer last year. They need someone who can be a presence in that kind of a way, and I think he has the best chance among the newcomers to carve out a role.
Chris Cartman with us, SunDevilSource.com publisher. Switch over to basketball. ASU, an 8 seed, a 7 seed, a 9 seed, do you even have a feel where they are right now with this recent surge? It's a team with a 40-point loss to St. Mary's on its resume, but an impressive push.
Well, I think if they finish reasonably well, let's say they go 2-2 to finish, and then they don't lose in their first game in the Pac-12 tournament, in that scenario, I think they're probably going to end up in the 8-9 range. I think it would take probably a little bit better than that to push up into the 7 or 6 seed, which, of course, that's what you really want to do.
Yep.
Because you don't want to play the number one in that second game if you are able to win. Now, the good news, I think, is that there's a chance that they may end up in the West. So they could be in Sacramento. Jerry Palm has that projected today from CBS, which means that they could get San Diego State in the second round. And I think that's probably as favorable as you're going to get a situation, despite the fact that, of course, San Diego State's been one of the most successful teams in the country this year.
If you look at the one seeds this year, you've got Kansas, you got Baylor, you got Gonzaga, you've got, I think, Dayton would be thrown in there, San Diego State. It's not like it's a murderer's row of number one seeds this year. There's some brand names, but I don't think, Chris, and you watch a lot of hoops, as do I, that this is a year where there's one team you're like, man, we just cannot face this team. The Gonzaga would be a bad matchup with all their size, but as BYU showed the other night, you can find a way.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of parity in college basketball right now in general, right? And it's kind of been trending that way. That's going to make the NCAA tournament really fun. And I think San Diego State's a team that ASU could match up against relatively well, just in terms of the strengths versus strengths. Of course, it's probably going to change a lot between now and then, but ASU's not going to be afraid of playing anybody in the tournament because it's just not in their makeup. These guys are fearless. They're going to press you. Defensively, they're going to generate a lot of turnovers. On the defensive end, that's really where they've carved out their identity, in my opinion. And then, of course, having Remy Martin and Alonzo Verge, they have two guys that they can rely on to score the ball when needed. And a lot of other teams, they only have one guy.
Does this surprise you, this recent push? Is this Bobby doing his best coaching job, or is it, no, Brad, he really does have the roster?
Yeah, this is definitely Bobby's best coaching job, in my opinion. You look at both the game planning that they've had going in, and then also the adjustments that they've made. So, for example, against Arizona in that win in Tempe after they got blown out in Tucson, they made an in-game adjustment to go to guard-to-guard ball screens after the big-to-guard ball screens weren't working. They were getting open three-pointers off of that with two defenders sticking on the ball. You look at what they did against USC, they went to full-court pressure really early on. It didn't have a great success initially. Over the course of the game, it really wore down the Trojans, and they committed 24 turnovers, which was the high against ASU in a conference game in 10 years. I think that for as deep as they are, there's been some challenges with figuring out how to get the lineup dialed in, the rotation. Moving Alonzo Verge to the bench has really been a big difference for this team because it's staggered the potency of Martin and Verge. So I think really, Bobby Hurley's probably going to win Pac-12 Coach of the Year unless UCLA finishes really strong here in its last few games.
Give me a line on Thursday night. What do you think happens?
Well, I think ASU matches up really well against UCLA, actually. UCLA is a grind-you-out type of a team. I think ASU kind of has that capability. The one thing that everybody should be watching is that Chris Smith for UCLA is a very difficult cover because of how nifty that he is at his length with his athleticism, with the ball in his hands. I think that's a very difficult cover for ASU. They're going to try to probably throw different types of guys at him in order to be successful. But if ASU continues to be smart with the basketball, not take bad shots, especially early in possessions, and competes for 40 minutes defensively and limits second chance opportunities, I think ASU is going to be there all the way to the end, and I think they can easily win that game.
Good stuff as always. Let you get back to practice, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
SunDevilSource.com publisher Chris Cartman with us there, the opening of spring football, a good meat sandwich with him on all things around ASU. Jody Jackson is next. I'm Brad Sismat. What's interesting about doing this over the last 8 years is there are certain stories that pop up. I don't know if Eric's noticed this or not, but there's certain stories that pop up on Most Read. One of the top five stories that is most read is about Jody Jackson to this day. And it was some headline about Queen of Local Television. I don't know. I mean, do you get flattered by this stuff? And this is 8 years. I knew you were coming on.
I do, so when you bring it up, Brad. I love it. Thank you.
Well, sure. I'm your pseudo agent. Yeah. So, you know, I'm your agent.
I know. Exactly.
That's the way it works.
Exactly. Remind me to send that check. No, I had no idea about that, but thanks for, I think of a lot of people are reading a lot of other stuff too. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the data on that, but.
Well, you did the right thing. You just said thank you. Take a compliment. It's Fox Sports okay. Arizona's reporter, host, and a good friend. That is Jody Jackson. Where are you today? D-backs?
Well, we have a meeting at work, which we have a lot, and no, I'm actually not going out there today, but we have an icebreakers tonight with Barrett Hayton out at the Ice Den, so I'll be busy out there. And hey, you know, I know it's not really, well, kind of, your neck of the woods is all over just like mine. So
yeah.
If you're by the Ice Den, come stop by.
That is
probably out hiking with your awesome new knees. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
No, we'll be busy out there, and then kind of just a little bit all over the place. I was had a quick trip with the Coyotes last week, and it was a busy week for the Coyotes for sure. And so between D-backs starting up, and we have our first broadcast March 2nd, so getting ready for that, keeping an eye on the Cards draft. So it's a busy time.
All right. So yeah, you were not a good luck charm. You went to Dallas and St. Louis, and they didn't play well, the hockey team.
No.
Well, they didn't play well. They just, especially the St. Louis game, they just couldn't shoot. But then they come back and they play lights out. So the big overarching question on this, are they going to be a playoff team this year, or are they going to break hearts and miss by just a game or two?
Look, it's one of those situations where it is so tight right now in that Pacific Division. They still could end up at the top if somebody has kind of a letdown. The problem is you're not really seeing teams like Vegas and Edmonton go on any really extended losing skids or anything like that, and you certainly can't count on that. The one thing, and Tyson Nash and I talked about this on the broadcast the other day, the one thing that is a little tough for them is they've played more games than some of these other teams. So some of these other teams have a game or two or three in hand. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they have to work hard to finish here. They have 17 games left, you know, they're going to need double digit wins. So it looks like, I mean, if you kind of go by typical point totals from the past and making the playoffs. So the thing about it is you look at them and you say they're completely capable of this. They can do that. They can win those games. They have a nicer schedule this week where they're a little bit get a little time off. It was a little crazy there for about a week and a half. And you know, you hope that they thrive on that and they embrace that and that they can kind of finish really strong. But to answer your question,
yes.
Even though I have really no empirical evidence to say, you know, I think that they do. I think because of the hard work they've put in all season long and, you know, hopefully they edge out these teams that are kind of floundering there with the, I don't want to say floundering, just kind of in and out of that wild card spot, keep Calgary out of there, keep Nashville from rising up. You know, they've been in a playoff spot pretty much the entire season except for the other night on Thursday night and about 12 hours. Well, no, I guess it was a 24-hour span. So I believe they have the fight to stay in there. And Darcy Kemper's coming back. He can play tomorrow.
Yeah, so he's gonna play against Florida, right? He's gonna play tomorrow. Right?
It seems like it. We haven't gotten full word. They're gonna take the ice in about an hour, and you know, I mean, everything should go smooth. He had that weird, you know, the injury was back on December 19th, and yet he had that strange kind of tweaking of it in Montreal, and it set him back. So assuming nothing goes wrong, everything's go for Rick Talkett to make that call, and I imagine that's a good place to start is tomorrow night against Florida, and then he kind of can ride either guy. He'll ride Kemper, I imagine. You know, hopefully he does well. But Ronce has proven himself lately, which is great.
Yeah. Talking with Jody Jackson, have you gotten to know Alex Morello at all yet, the owner?
You know, I haven't. I haven't been able to talk to him as much as I would have liked because he seems like a super interesting guy. Yeah. And I met him when he first took over. And I've seen him, you know, usually he's rushing somewhere and I'm going, it's literally like in the hall and he's going one way, I'm going the other way. But it's been kind of fun to see people react to him and get excited about what, you know, the future brings for the Coyotes with a decision maker like himself at the helm. But yeah, to be perfectly honest, I don't know a lot more about him personally than I did when he first came on because we just haven't had many conversations, just the one conversation.
I've talked to a couple people, and there's some stuff there with him that's really interesting and really good, I think. And hopefully I'll be able to have more on that later in the week. Let's switch over to the rodeo guy in town, you know, that pitcher for the Diamondbacks. So this Madison Bumgarner story, how does it work for you? Because you're part of the Diamondbacks. You guys have a game. Your first broadcast is this coming weekend, I do believe. And the story comes out that Mad Bum actually has been in the rodeo as Mason Sanders and making money. Are you guys, do you go to him on this? How do you handle this?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I'll talk to him about it a little bit for sure leading up for the broadcast on the 2nd. It kind of depends on who. I haven't projected out who's pitching that day, things like that. But you know how it is in baseball, Brad. I mean, you have, and it's kind of the beauty and the curse. I mean, you have all this time to talk about everything and everyone, and you can't possibly talk about everything that first day. And I just, you know, even though it is a big story right now, it doesn't really make sense in the context of, like, if he doesn't pitch that day. But we have the day that he does pitch to talk about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's out there. He seemed a little shy about it, although, you know, what you learn in baseball is there's a lot of stuff that's known inside baseball, and it's just not known outside of the
right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and including, I'm not trying to compare. These are, you know, really all in all, I guess the injury factor is the thing that can be scary, but I mean, I'm not comparing Madison Bumgarner with sign stealing and that and the biggest saga maybe to hit baseball
ever,
in decades. But you know, apparently a lot of people knew that kind of stuff was going on, and you know, it wasn't until it became public that, you know, and that's kind of the way a lot of things go in life, and you're kind of like, wow, okay, this was this underworld thing going on. But so, yeah, I mean, it just appears that people he knew, and I mean, I don't know how many, I don't know, you know, it's in the world you and I live in, it seems hard to, like, that your bosses maybe wouldn't know things, but maybe it's like, well, they didn't ask, so I didn't, so it's interesting. I mean, he's such a great guy. I have gotten to know him a little bit over the years, just talking to him as a member of the Giants, and, you know, I, as far as, you know, I'm sure the Diamondbacks, Mike Hazen, you know, even maybe Ken Kendrick, you know, at that point, you know, will have to weigh in on his hobby that he enjoys a lot. So.
I would think Boach would have known, just because I know Boach a little bit. And because Boach is a cowboy. And I mean, I would
Boach
think.
Boach is from Calcutta. Boach is from, so I'm from South Florida. Boach is from, like, I think near Ocala. So it's like middle of Florida is completely different than South Florida. And it's very much horses and.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really know that about Florida. They don't think that, but so for sure I'll be talking to him about it a little bit. I mean, in the context of how it relates to his job as a pitcher with the D-backs. But you know, things that are out there are out there. Apparently it was on Facebook or something, right? For the rodeo.
It's great. It's just call him Mason Sanders on the mound now, because that was his stage
name.
Was
it Sanders or Saunders?
Mason Saunders. Call him Mason Saunders. just Mason Saunders gave up a 3-run home run last night. You know, let's go down to the field. Mason Saunders is with, you know, fill in the blank. So.
Well, you know, it's a hot button topic when the public learns, but it's interesting how I saw on Twitter some people lashing out at Zach Buchanan for. You know, oh, you ruined his secret or his alias, and you know, Zach's doing his job. He's reporting information.
Yeah.
But it's funny how, you know, there are different sides. Like, can this be private? Well, it can be private unless there's a risk, right? So,
okay,
I do believe in giving guys their privacy to some extent. You know, but
Last question, because I'm short on time here, but I have to ask you, okay, are you covering a baseball team that is postseason bound? And take the Dodgers out of the equation. Don't even mention the Dodgers, okay?
Oh, goody.
I already know that answer is 105 games, okay? But are you covering a team, and are you a little bit more geek, jazz, whatever term you want to use? Because it seems to me, sitting here behind this microphone, that they're a 90-win team.
Yeah, Brad, we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, but I am very excited about what they've done because I've seen them work magic with lesser teams. And now you see Madison Bumgarner coming, Starling Marte, you know, even a guy like Stephen Vogt, who's just a great guy to have in that clubhouse and can kind of fill in for Carson Kelly here and there. And the emergence of all their young guys, I am really excited about this season. And I think that they will make the playoffs because I think they're going to have a jump in wins. They had 85 last year. And if you see a jump and you get to look at the numbers, you're going to say this. And so, and, you know, part of me, we all talk about this as journalists and covering sports. And you say, well, if they stay healthy, but man, they work magic every year, even when guys don't stay healthy. So, hopefully they do stay healthy. When things happen, though, there's no one I would trust more than a Mike Hazen to plug those holes. And they have depth now. And they can have more trade leverage if they need it because of that depth. And so it's really cool to see. I'm excited to get out there and start covering these games.
Stay well. Good to hear your voice. And thanks for being in our top five. You know, I'm not sure if this one will go top five. It might go top three. I don't know. See you. Stay well.
All right. Take care.
There's Jody Jackson with us. Fox Sports Arizona reporter, host, good friend of the show. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He did not screw up today. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of everything. He might have screwed up today. No, he didn't. We're going to go do content now over on the website at sports360az.com. Jordan is down at ASU spring football workouts. You can check in on that. Thanks for being with us. Have yourself a great Monday.